out of bounds.
The center fielder at the wall! It's out of here! It's out of here! Got the distance, doesn't have the accuracy!
Yo, you don't even know what stupid is. It's about to get all stupid up in here.
It's time.
All right, let's do this. Match point, touchdown, etc.
Welcome in. Glad to have you with us. We are live on the Roar on a Wednesday, July 22nd, 2026. Thanks so much for joining us here on Out of Bounds. William Quaggenbush, Ben Milstead with you. Thank you so much for being here on a Wednesday. 654-ROAR, 654-7627. If you'd like to join us on the Pratt & Drew phone lines, Adams & Co. Roofing text line. A lot of college football to talk today. I don't think I'm going to be as hot and bothered as I was at the end of the show yesterday, but time will tell. I would have said that yesterday, too, so it is what it is. I do have some SEC stuff that's going to get me just real. I have a headache today, and I know it's because I just watched Roman Harper five times. It's the most loser take that I've ever heard from an alleged strong league. It's loser stuff. More of that coming up in the show. Ben Milstead, how are you, sir?
I am fine, Quack. I feel certain that you are going to be as hot and bothered or greater today than you were yesterday. We ought to do a poll on that one day. How hot and bothered will Quack be? On a scale of 1 to 10, would you say you're somewhat satisfied?
Mostly?
Yes. You know, anytime you have Arrogant Sankey speaking and some of that, then there's a lot of opportunity to be hot and bothered. So there's that. Can I say this right out of the gate? If you heard Mickey Plyler's show this morning, I hope you did, 6 to 9. Great show every day. He was at Arthrex today in Clemson, in Pendleton. Stopped by there and saw those great people. And, I'm blown away every time I'm on their campus. Today was no exception, but I want to encourage you to go back and listen to that show. It was jam-packed with interviews. I mean, literally every segment. And when I saw the rundown, there was some of those I thought, I don't know how interested I'm going to be in this. Quark, I listened to every second, and they were all good. I mean, every single one, even like the final segment was the team physician for the New York Yankees, who is a world-renowned physician, and some of the things that he said. And Dabo Swinney was on talking about how important – you know, rest and recovery and rehab and all that is, and how big a deal that is in today's sports world. And when you're playing more and more games, how you've got to start factoring in injuries to how you build your roster. And just made some great points that I thought I've heard Dabo make all the points. And then I heard today he make other great points. So, for instance, and I'll just share this real quick. Go back and listen to that on the podcast, though. He said, you go to a physician, you go to an orthopedist for your knee because they're an expert. And the orthopedist says, you need knee surgery. So you don't second guess that. Yes, orthopedist, the expert to knee surgery. His profession is the one profession that you don't turn to the experts for advice. Other people do that. How do we fix? Is 12 regular season games too many? We don't ask the experts. Somebody else decides that. I like, that's a great point.
That's excellent. Oh, that's so good. Ben, it was, I would co-sign that it was a great, it was a different kind of show. Like, you almost have to not, it's a little bit like, I love the Mother's Day, Father's Day shows that Mickey's done in the past. It was a little bit like that. Like, if you tune in for how is Georgia going to be in the trenches, or, you know, is Clemson going to go over the win total? Like, you're not getting that. But, man, it was really good stuff. And really, I think those, a lot of the interviews from this morning, which I got to, I was in the car, so I got to hear a good bit of it. A lot of the interviews from this morning were like, it's helpful stuff that we don't think we need on a normal basis that help you understand a lot about athletics, a lot about competition, a lot about rehab and recovery, the mental and the physical side and that kind of stuff from a bunch of different perspectives. And I thought it was necessary. I will agree. I feel like a lot of folks would know I was going, you can skip that one. I would encourage you, don't skip that one. I would encourage you, if you did feel that way, as Ben said, go back and listen. I think it will help you understand many of the things we end up talking about with injuries and rehab, and even the perspective of coaches, the perspective of doctors and surgeons, and like the interview with the UFC fighter I thought was great.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Just the perspective there of recovery and what it does and how your perspective changes and all that. It was really good. I thought Mickey did a great job.
One of those doctors at the end, it might have been the Yankees doctor, talking about, I think it's nanosurgery, that even with arthroscopic, you still make an incision. And he's talking about doctors break down your body to fix your body. You know, you, and this nanosurgery, there's a stinking camera on the end of a needle. It's a puncture. It's not even an incision. Like, what we do in that area and what Arthrex is doing, that is just remarkable. That is remarkable. And it does beg the question, if we can make a camera fit on the tip of a needle so small that it can be inserted into your skin without an incision, what could we do? What can we do that we're not doing with other things? I don't know.
Can I just give you a couple of examples that I immediately thought of?
Does my cell phone need to weigh 13 pounds right now? I mean, I don't know.
My first thought is,
I can do curls with this stupid thing.
Why can't we have cameras on both pylons?
Oh, shut up.
Like, why can't we do that?
It's a great, yes.
We're just looking, look, if it's good enough for a doctor to see the little tiny piece of whatever, your tendon, your ligament, whatever, then of course it's going to be good enough to figure out, did the ball cross the plane of the goal line? Like, station it in every pylon. Put a tiny little camera like that. Game changer. I kept thinking, like, who works on the little camera that's on the point of the needle? Like, how good do your fine motor skills have to be to work on that, to fine-tune the mechanics of that?
Well, if you saw some of the things they work on at Arthrex, you know, where you need microscopes to work on them, that might be part of your answer there. So, you know, as it relates to sports and all that, now there's a large part of that camera that never goes in the body,
right?
You know, the batteries and stuff like that. But still, I mean, just think about that. And that it, you know, a camera, the lens and all that, obviously has to be the size of the tip of a needle, but also that it can, the clarity that has, and I don't know, that just, I am fascinated.
It's incredible. It is, yes. Tua texter from the 864, the tightrope surgery Tua had was done with Arthrex tools.
Yes.
That, like, anybody that has tightrope surgery, like, Arthrex is on the forefront. I won't say anybody because I don't know that. But Arthrex is right at the forefront. If somebody has tightrope surgery, there's a pretty good chance. I don't know if it's 100, but there's a real good chance that Arthrex tools were used in that.
Yeah.
That tightrope surgery with ankles.
Well, the gentleman's first name, Reinhold, that is the owner of Arthrex, he invented the tools used for arthroscopic surgery. Now, I mean, just think about that. That's who we're talking about here. Arthroscopic surgery is about as revolutionary a thing that has come along in the last 100 years. Wouldn't you kind of put that up there with, you know, CAT scans and X-ray machines and things? You know, it's pretty revolutionary what, and that's who owns Arthrex.
Careers.arthrex.com if you'd like to work at a great company.
Yeah.
Careers.arthrex.com.
So I was not in any way trying to endorse Arthrex through all that. That's just a byproduct of talking about things that I found fascinating today.
Ben, I truly can't believe that I'm shocked at what has happened at SEC Media Days. I've been shocked a bunch of ways, okay? Some of the John Summerall stuff that came out of today, fascinating, okay? Some of the Beamer stuff today, fascinating. I'm going to tell you why Feinbaum absolutely roasted South Carolina yesterday. No one thinks that, but I do. I'm the only one that thinks that Feinbaum absolutely roasted South Carolina yesterday. He was trying to take a shot at Dabo. I'll explain.
And I do want to talk about all those things. I was very impressed with Shane Beamer yesterday. I'm not
yes.
going to lie. Very impressed with Shane Beamer.
He was impressed. I will say he was impressive. He did his job. He did exactly what he was supposed to do yesterday. He did all that he could do coming off a 4-8. Like, you, there's a tone you have to strike, and there's a confidence you have to have that also understands that you got humbled. And to a certain degree, Dabo had to do that. And I know people want to caricature Dabo. I think Dabo, for the most part, did it too. I think Beamer probably was a little more like direct at it, you know, like a bullseye. He was very, very good. The thing, and Ben, I sent you this clip. We're gonna have to play it on the other side of the break because I cannot imagine the logical framework required to say what Roman Harper said this morning on the SEC. I cannot ascend to the point that he would essentially argue that the committee is not going to allow teams that lose 3 games to go to the playoff, and that's a shame. Number one, the committee has never said that. The committee has never said that a team that goes 9-3 can't get in. They've never once said that, Roman Harper. The second thing I would say is, for all of these people that are absolutely scared to death, scared, or very fearful that the sport is going to lose its way, that football is going to be worse if we don't tell a team before the season started, they get to lose 3 games and be okay. Who's your example exactly? Because it hit me, I'm watching this clip from Roman Harper, it hit me that he's arguing straw men. He's erecting a straw man and blaming somebody for punishing the straw man. Never has it happened. I'll play the clip when we come back. We'll talk about what it potentially means for the SEC. I can't wait to tell you about what happened when a reporter's phone went off in John Summerall's press conference, and also the last question he got in the press conference before the SID was basically like, yeah, we probably should call this. Much more to come on College Football. Hour one of the program continues next.
If you're online, you've got the Roar at your fingertips. From a beach in Valley to the Rocky Mountains, you don't have to miss a minute. You can catch your favorite show streaming live on the Roar app or at theroarfm.com at any time.
71 home sites, hundreds of acres, and a beautiful oasis for you, nestled right in the Blue Ridge Mountains in Salem between Lakes Kiwi and Jocassee. Falls Park at Kiwi is for you. This is a Jim Anthony build, and we know that Jim does it right. He's got a track record of excellence in the space, and he's done it again with Falls Park. You have access, direct access to Kiwi, concierge access to Jocassee, hiking and biking trails along McKinney Creek. They've got a dedicated community pavilion two things you know about gyms' communities. One, they're going to be secure. They know that security is very important. They've got secured main entrances, surveillance systems all over to make sure that you get the peace of mind that you need. But second is they're going to feel natural. Your home plots and your lots are going to have beautiful nature, trees and growth and all kinds of stuff right around. It's going to feel like you're living in the woods. So you can kind of get that feel of, hey, this is mine, this is my house, this is my property, but also that you get the community feel of knowing that you've got neighbors. And he does a great job of threading that needle. They're doing great work with Falls Park. For more on additional property information, homesite maps, fallspark@kiwi.com.
The games may end, but the opinions never stop.
You're totally off base on this.
105.5 and 97.5, The Roar.
Guys, let's talk testosterone.
Need all of the materials, great sales, great service. They've got it all for you at Landscaper Supply. And with their seven upstate locations and another in Augusta, Georgia, they are right there adjacent to all of your contractors, all of your homeowners. Like, you're not going to have to travel, 40 minutes to go find a place. If you're in the upstate, Landscaper Supply is the spot for you. Landscapers-supply.com. All right, this is what I'm talking about. Now, we 2 days ago, Greg Sankey came up and he basically said, we have big stadiums and also people like us, so we're very important. He gave that, and then they threatened to break away. And then Kirby Smart yesterday said, yeah, I've been there for a long time. We should break away and do our own thing. Eli Drinkwitz said, oh, yeah, the Big Ten's won national titles because Indiana plays Old Dominion week one. I mean, and LSU played Clemson. That's the difference. So we have these nonsensical things that they're saying. Add another one to the list. I don't mind Roman Harper. I think he's great. I like his analysis. This is absolute poppycock nonsense. There are adult grown men.
Poppycock.
Poppycock. I've been infected by the World Cup. That is an international word. It's poppycock. This is ridiculous what Roman Harper is saying in front of other grown men that are nodding while he says it. Roll the clip.
Teams will fall. And it's understandable, Dusty, to have those conversations and that question, because the committee has not shown us that a 9-win non-conference champion will make it to the playoffs, because ultimately they're still looking at the amount of wins in the win column at the end of the year. And that's a shame. And they say they're going to talk about strength of schedule, but they have not shown us that yet.
They do talk about strength of schedule. They do. Every freaking year they talk about it. It's ridiculous.
I'm speechless because I watch this and I see Dusty Dvorak and Nick Saban. Nick Saban's looking at him like he's crazy, kind of. But, he's nodding and you can tell that his mind is processing this information, going, wait a minute. What he's saying is that it's unfortunate that the committee is looking at wins and losses. That is what he said. It is unfortunate that they are looking at wins and losses. They have not shown us that they can put a 9-3 non-conference in. Do you know why that is, Roman? Because there are other more deserving teams. There are other better teams than the 9-3 non-conference champions that you're talking about. I'm with you, Kwok. How in the world has a grown man who's spent his entire life in the sport, everything Roman Harper has done has been to win. And now you're shocked that someone would dare look at a win. That just blows my mind.
Okay, let me just walk this out, okay? I have said before.
Text line hung up on poppycock, by the way.
Oh,
as
yeah.
You might imagine.
Oh, of course. You know what? We'll get to some of that later. My big reservation with this, and I realize as I'm listening to him say it, and other people have made this argument, but I'm listening to him say it. It's unfortunate that we don't have 9-3 teams. And he's saying it. Listen, you don't have to go back and listen, but if you go back and listen to what preceded it, they're talking about the 9-game conference schedule. And I got to tell you, I really do have to tell you this. John Sumrall was asked about the 9-game conference schedule, and he basically said, why would I be concerned about being a coach in the SEC? Like, I signed up to be a coach in the SEC, and we play non-conference games. Why would that scare me?
Exactly correct. You know who's really scared of non-conference games? A bunch of y'all. Well, a bunch of these SEC people are terrified to play a non-conference game.
Summerall's not been in the league long enough to be brainwashed into that. He doesn't know how to think yet. He hasn't been told how to think yet.
I mean, it's ridiculous. So you have Roman Harper, who's essentially pre-worried. He's not even worried about things that have happened. Can I tell you something? Like, in the Bible, Jesus says, okay, in the Bible, Jesus is talking about worry, and he says, you will have problems in the world, but take heart, I've overcome the world. You know what is terrible? He also talks about don't worry about tomorrow because tomorrow's going to take care of itself. You know, Roman Harper, I think, is a Christian. He should go back and read that verse. He's worried about tomorrow's problem. It ain't even happened yet, Roman.
I love how you can take every sports story and find a biblical principle to that. And also, either that or a Disney movie. One or the other.
Equally useful.
Yes.
more Disney now.
Everything comes back to the Bible and Disney.
I mean, just, yes, and again, equal weight. Ben, he's worried about a thing that hasn't happened yet. Folks, if you live in the world, let me just give you some great advice. And listen, I'm 37, okay? I have not seen the worst things that the world can offer me, all right? Some of y'all are sitting in legitimate pain. Can I tell you something? The things that we have to worry about today are bad enough. There are things that we legitimately have to deal with today that are bad enough. To worry about things that haven't happened yet, and listen to me, will not be a problem. What we're hearing out of the SEC right now is they are pre-mad and pre-worried and pre-concerned about a thing that hasn't happened that they wanted.
Texture reminds us, if Clemson doesn't kick the last second field goal in 2024, a 9-3 Alabama gets in.
Correct.
Yeah. You know, another texture said because they legitimately think any 9-3 SEC team is just better than anyone else. They are delusional. Yes.
I want to know from Roman Harper and from any of these people who have beclowned themselves in this way, I want to know, what team are you talking about? I don't want to hear hypothetical, because you know what? The SEC is undefeated. You know, the two things are undefeated. I tweeted this earlier this week. The two things that they've never lost are a hypothetical game and a strength of schedule discussion. They've never lost them, okay? On the field, losing a lot right now, losing a lot of games, not even playing for national championships. But they win every hypothetical game and every strength of schedule. So you know what? I'm tired of playing hypothetical games. Who's the team? Who is the team that you're talking about that the committee has denied access to at 9-3 that we all agree should have been in? Roman Harper didn't even say that. He just bemoaned the fact that, oh, the committee's not putting a 9-3. Well, who did they not put in? The Alabama team that we all sort of agreed, maybe not you, but that we all sort of agreed was not quite at the level of some of these others.
Are they talking about Texas last year?
I mean, nobody thought Texas was a playoff team. There was no one at the time that made any argument for Texas last year.
But they were a 9-3 SEC team, and they didn't get in, and, you know, other non-deserving teams did, I suppose.
Like, why? I don't understand. In the college football playoff rankings, okay, this is the thing that really bothers me, is when the SEC acts like they're the victims. You know, like, this whole thing boils down to this entire week for this conference and wants to say it just means more. Let me tell you something. This has been the whiniest 3 days that I can remember. I was just whining and complaining and moaning about all of this. Ben, I know you notice it. Like, all they've done is just whine and complain and moan about how hard they have it in this league, where they've been telling us for decades that they're strong enough to overcome anything and anybody.
The reason for that is they are still negotiating the college football playoff expansion, and they're not getting their way with that, and they want to they are trying to send a message. It is not by accident that they have talked about pulling out of the NCAA and being their own entity. That is by design, to send a shot over the bow that you better give us our way or we're taking our ball and going home. Did you see the texter earlier that sent us the graphic? what the college football playoff would have looked like the last 3 years had – what the championship would have looked like the last 3 years had the SEC pulled out, and it was just the three scores. Nothing changed.
I mean, look, I don't want you to leave. But
no, I don't want you to leave either.
But that fact remains. Like, you're not the only important entity involved right here. And by the way, there's other good football being played.
But you know, back to the Texas thing, 9-3 last year, did not get in. Neither did BYU, who was more deserving than you. Neither did Notre Dame, who was certainly more deserving than you. But I guess because of 12-1 James Madison got in, that's what they're talking about, or Tulane at 11-2. I'm sorry, those were, especially with James Madison, they deserved to be in, and they didn't. I mean, they held their own.
Who was
– hypothetically, Texas would have been better.
That's right. Hypothetically.
And you can't tell me I'm wrong.
And you know what? If the rules were that the 12 best teams got in and Texas didn't get in and James Madison got in, I would say, you know what? They're not better. But those aren't the rules. That's not the rules of the game. You get 7 at-large spots. And I just don't understand, Ben, how we're so pre-worried. Roman Harper is worried that the committee is going to look at 3 losses. And it's so offensive to the committee, too, to act that all they do is look at the number of losses. Because isn't that what he said? Can we play the clip back one more time? Because he basically, listen, I know he's talking about 3 lost teams, but he basically said all the committee does is look at wins and losses. Here's what he says.
Eventually,
here
he
we go. I threw Ben a curveball.
Teams will fall. And it's understandable, Dusty, to have those conversations and that question, because the committee has not shown us that a 9-win non-conference champion will make it to the playoffs, because ultimately they're still looking at the amount of wins in the win column at the end of the year. And that's a shame. And they say they're going to talk about strength of schedule, but they have not shown us that yet.
Who is it that he thinks should be in?
Stop for a moment. Again, Roman Harper actually said they're looking at the number of wins in the win column, and that's a shame. I'm not making that up. That's an actual quote. They're looking at the number of wins in the win column, and that's a shame.
I think it is actually true. This might be controversial to some. Ben, you may disagree with this. I think you can be a better 11-1 team than a 12-0 team. I don't actually think you could be a better 10-2 team than a 12-0 team. I think there's too few. I think once you get to 2 losses, you can. But you could quibble with that. Who are you going to leave out last year, just from the playoff field? Who are you going to leave out last year? Because it was a bunch of 1-loss teams. And then the teams that got in. You know who got in last year? You know who got in? There were 3 2-loss teams that got in on at-large bids. Actually, there were 2 2-loss teams that got in. Oklahoma was one. What conference are they playing? SEC.
Yeah.
Miami was the other one. You know who else got in? Alabama. As a 3-loss team, they got absolutely trounced in their conference championship game. The only 3-loss team that got in was Alabama, SEC team. Go back 2 years ago. Who are you putting in? Who are you putting in to let in 9-3 Alabama 2 years ago? Who are you taking out? By the way, they're undefeated Oregon. You know who was ranked above the highest ranked 1-loss team? The teams that were ranked ahead of the highest ranked 1-loss team were Georgia, Texas, and Penn State with 2 losses. 2 SEC teams. Folks, it is propaganda of the highest order that all they do is look at wins and losses. They actually legitimately do not just look at wins and losses. In fact, they give the SEC teams a mulligan in every loss column.
Quark, you need to take a breath. Take a breath. I told you were going to be as worked up or more than yesterday, and it is only 12:40, and you're already there.
You're right.
5 teams from the SEC got in the field. And I will remind you of this as we go to break. Last year at the end of the regular season, Greg Sankey said, quote, "I actually think we deserve 7. So you ask who they're talking about. He's talking about Texas and whoever else the next one is.
Vanderbilt, 10-2 Vanderbilt.
I actually think we deserve 7.
Man, why stop at 7? I don't know who their 8th-ranked team was. Tennessee. Why not Tennessee? Missouri, 4 losses. But they were all really good losses, folks. Unbelievable. Texter says, using a clip from Animal Farm. This is neither Bible nor Disney. We're going Animal Farm, Ben. All wins are equal, but SEC wins are more equal than others. It's a beautiful thing. Short out of bounds. William Quagamush and Ben Milstead with you. 654 Roars, the number 654-7627. Would like to join the program today.
You want to know if we're in a slow period of sports or not? I would turn your attention to the screen above you, in which I think we're watching Little League girls softball. Is that what we're watching?
That it is. That's what this is. It's like regional elimination games. We're very early in the tournament.
45 on a Wednesday. She had a cute bow in her hair.
You know, I was...
It matches. It does match. I'm envious that people have enough hair to put a bow in it.
Have you seen the controversy? This might be a pre-Hump Day headline, Ben.
The controversy.
There's Little League softball controversy.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. What can I just get you... What would be a controversy with Little League? Like, what is the controversy that always comes up with Little League softball, like clockwork?
The 22-year-old playing Little League? Is that it?
Some
well,
have said,
I don't know, in today's age, is it the man playing, is it the boy playing the girl's sport?
Oh, man. Well, we could have that. That's true. It's a nice runner-up. No, it's all about birth certificates, Ben.
Oh, no.
And documentation. This is an official statement from Little League. This is from Little League. There's more to this, but I'll just read their statement. Following additional protests and information provided regarding the eligibility of players on the Tulsa National Little League softball team, the Little League International Tournament Committee, the LLITC, that we all know and love, has determined that the adult volunteers and parents did not provide sufficient documentation to verify that all players are eligible to participate in the international tournament based on either their school enrollment or bona fide habitation within the league's official boundaries. Ben, it sounds like we have some school district / immigration status issues with Tulsa Little League softball. That's what it sounds like.
What's the initials of the organization?
The LLITC. The LITC. Well-known organization.
Did anyone else out there's brain hear little something? Little something when you read that off? I'm sorry.
That's when the body paint gets on.
It would be appropriate.
That's when the body painters get out of order, right? Just rearrange those letters and you'll figure it out.
I'm sorry.
Oh, man. I got a story for you about. It's similar to that. I got a story for you during the
sophomore Ben has shown up.
Oh, man. So they've removed Tulsa from the Little League Softball Southwest Region Tournament and forfeited the previous game. So now.
Okay, so is it because they had somebody too old? Because I was watching something yesterday. I'm like, that girl's got children and a 401k. I mean, there's no doubt that no way she's 12 years old or whatever.
So this is interesting. Apparently, according to X, if you just like look at the comments on X, there was a complaint last year about this exact same group and they didn't do anything about it. and parents were irate. This is, of course, we go to the source. This is Bro Bible. This is before the statement, actually. Apparently, it was two opponents who protested six players. This is a full. It ain't like just one kid missed a day by a week and they tried to sneak her in. This is six players. Formal protests were filed by multiple opponents, most notably Texas West and Texas East. Boy, I tell you what, you align the West Texas and East Texas, you've done something really grave. And we know nothing unites Texas more than malfeasance and Tulsa. We know that.
It's right up there with like North Korea, South Korea.
Yes. Yeah,
same thing.
Oh, yeah. There was, okay, I saw this earlier back in May. There was a qualifying tournament, okay? Let me see. Yeah, there was a qualifying tournament back in May, and it was in South Carolina, and there were parents fighting in the stands. I did not realize it was over this, but apparently at the end of the game, parents, like, brawled on this because parents from other teams knew what was going on with Tulsa, and Tulsa ended up winning the third-place game or whatever, and legitimately there were problems. So we have controversy there. And again, they're not specific, but like they didn't provide documentation that they live in the school district and it sounds like immigration stat. I mean, honest to God, it sounds like they're not even sure if they're citizens, if they live in the country. I could be wrong about this. The legalese, we can lump a lot of things in. I love it.
Was the movie Benchwarmers? Was that the movie where the guy just holds up the guy from the Dominican Republic and just holds up a sign that like says I am 12 or
yes.
something.
Yeah, I think that Benchwarmers. I think that's on
what a horrible great movie that was.
Oh man. Yeah, I mean they're playing players out of the zone. Out of the zone. It's tales old as time. You're either playing Danny Almonte at 16 or whatever. Or you're playing players out of zone. So Tulsa had to forfeit, and the team that Tulsa beat played the team that was supposed to play Tulsa in the Southwest Regional Final Elimination Bracket Round Robin, whatever, however many words it takes to fill that up.
We should have open borders, Quack. I've always said that around Tulsa.
Build the wall is what we're saying. Build the wall, open borders. The Chandler Bing Tulsa experience. I love that. 654-ROAR is the number, 654-7627. If you'd like to join us on the Adams Cooper text on the Pratt Andrew Large phone line. There have been some lighthearted moments in the SEC. Do you still have that?
Nothing. The clip was from Benchwarmers, and I can't wait to play that during the break to
yes.
see if it's airworthy.
Yes, we got to do it. Do we have the Sumrall clip where the guy's phone goes off? John Sumrall had himself a day, folks. He might win Media Days this year. This is John Sumrall in the press conference. He had several nice moments. I'm going to tell you what he said about Lane Kiffin in a second. This is what happened when a media member's media member's phone goes off here. And John Sumrall snaps into very serious coach mode. In fact, I would argue he didn't even snap. I think John Sumrall succeeded in being in very serious coach mode the entire time. And I think that Billy Napier in some ways did a poor job and in some ways was a victim of circumstance. In no way is John Sumrall going to be confused with Billy Napier based on statements like this at SEC Media Days. Unbelievable. We do have it.
Yeah.
I may need to read.
I got you know too what? Many things going on.
You know what?
Back
it's okay.
Here.
There's a lot of things that have happened in this hour.
Here we go.
It's been a very busy hour on the show.
How things were going to unfold. And you'd be kicked out of our team meeting. I swear, like, you're lucky I'm not going to throw this freaking podium right now. Like, it drives me crazy. I would say who is that, but I'm not going to embarrass anybody. But no,
he's looking a hole through whoever's phone went off. I mean, he is perturbed. You'd be thrown out of our meeting. I love that.
That's what he said. You'd be thrown out of our meeting. He's in coach mode at the podium. I love this. Other things he said, he's the only man at SEC kickoff, SEC media days. He's the only man. Everybody else is in the corner going, why do we have to play so many hard games? And John Summerall's like, yeah, we're playing the SEC. Yeah, we play nine. That's what we do. That's what I signed up for. Have you seen his quote about Kiffin? Oh, Ben. The quote about Kiffin. Whew. It's a spicy one. Brett McMurphy tweeted this out this morning. This is a quote directly from his X feed. He was asked essentially, and I'm paraphrasing here, as you can imagine, it was a long question. He was asked about, you know, there's another coach in the league that decided to leave before the playoff, and you stayed. Why'd you stay at Tulane for the playoff game? This is quote. Quote, Lane and I talked through the process of October and November. Lane said, we're going through the same thing. I said, no, we're not. You're leaving an SEC school. I'm leaving Tulane. If any university said I couldn't coach in the playoff, I don't think I would have taken the job. Close quote. That is embarrassing for Lane, honestly. Lane Kiffin's like, hey, man, let's talk through this together. We're brothers. We're going through this whole thing where we're taking another job. He's like, no, we're not. We're not doing this the same. You left. I didn't.
You're making me, he's making me like a Florida head coach. I'm just not comfortable with that. I'm much more comfortable making fun of your coaches.
It's been a minute since we've had to respect one, you know. Even Todd Golden had the Title IX stuff, you know. You didn't have to totally like him. Like, really good basketball coach, but there's some stuff. Ben, I might go over on the vibes alone. 7.5 is a win total. Plus 120. Ooh. Get me over on the vibes alone, man. I want to believe in something. I hate this league. I hate what I've heard from all these sniveling little fake men, these little phony baloney feminine men who are scared to death. They've told us for 20 years that they're bigger and tougher than us, and all of them are scared to death to play each other. It is astounding to me. The fear and trepidation is coming from these people. And John Sumrall is the only one that's acting like a man.
Are you saying over 7.5?
Yes.
Buddy, they're not doing that.
Oh, they are, Ben.
Okay, we'll be reviewing that schedule after the break.
Oh, man, I can't wait. I can't wait. They're doing it, and we're finding it. You know why? Because John Sumrall won't even let you think about your phone in a team meeting.
Why are they beating Oklahoma? Because John Sumrall was up. Offended by a phone ringing in July.
They beat Campbell because...
Makes perfect sense.
He stayed at Tulane like a man.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHD-AM 1560. Cowpens. 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
If you don't agree with one of our hosts...
You're an idiot.
Let us know.